Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read three verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read three verses, verse 16 through 18. Amen. 2 Corinthians, and when you're there, just shout out, say, I'm there. Praise the Lord. Everybody there? Still hear pages. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, anybody know what I'm talking about? Which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, we thank you for your word. We know your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's anointed. It goes out and accomplishes and does everything that it's supposed to do. Never returns void. I pray, God, that you speak to your people today, Father. These are your people. I pray you use me, God, as a vessel to speak through. And I pray, God, for just a freedom and a liberty here to speak under the anointing that you've given me. I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Turn to somebody and say, whatever you do, don't run. Come on. Except for you, Porky. You run because you got a marathon to train for. So you can run. But the rest of you can't run. Amen. Good to see you, bro. When you coming home, bro? Like, to be home. All right. Here in our text, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. Now, Corinth is a church that God is doing something in. There's a growth happening in Corinth. And there's a lot of stuff happening. A lot of people have been saved in this church. A lot of people have been, God has been moving in this church. And now they're experiencing reality. They go beyond that first days of salvation, the excitement of being on fire for the Lord and just, you know, everything going great on the honeymoon and everything awesome. Now they begin to experience crazy circumstances, trials beyond their ability to cope or maybe even to understand. They can't understand why they're going through what they're going through. And so the Apostle Paul, he addresses them. Now, I want you to note for a minute, he addresses them as a spiritual father, as an apostle, as a pastor, as a prophet, so many different things. He addresses them, but where he addresses them from is so crazy because he's addressing them from a very crazy circumstance himself. Because he himself is in prison during the time when he writes to the church of Corinth. He's writing from a perspective of where he can understand what trials mean, what situations, the circumstances happen. And he makes this comment. He says, therefore, we don't lose heart. In other words, he says, we don't give up. We don't run. We stay our ground. When things happen, we stand our ground. Once things happen, we praise God. We don't curse God. Job's wife wanted Job to curse when he got through trials. And Job says, man, why would I do that? Wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for him. He begins to talk about that even though this body is corrupt and this body is flesh is starting to get older and things are starting to happen to it, there's something going on the inside. Come on, somebody. See, he says, and then I love what he says. He says, for our light affliction. In other words, he considers even being imprisoned, chained to a wall, he considers a light affliction compared to the powerful, glorious things that God is about to do in his life. You see, and he begins to talk about, he says, it's just for a moment. There's a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory coming. While we don't look at the things which are seen, in other words, he says, I'm not looking at what I can see with my own eyes. I am looking at the promise that God has spoken of, the things that have been prophesied, the seeds that I planted, the situations that don't look good, and I have stood in faith anyway. I'm looking at the outcome and the results of my faith. He begins to declare. He begins to tell them, listen, you need to walk by faith and not by sight. You don't walk around looking at your circumstances all the time. If you do that, you're never going to get anywhere because you're going to always be discouraged. Because life can be pretty discouraging. Come on, somebody. Did anyone come here this morning hoping, maybe praying, maybe longing for an answer for your situation? Maybe you were hoping somebody would sing something. Well, somebody would pray some way. Maybe a word preached that would maybe, you know, did you come here for that? You came here, right, for that. Did anyone come here hoping to get discouraged? Yeah, I can't wait to get to church, man. I want to get discouraged today. I want to walk away hopeless. Did anybody come here and say, you know what, I can't wait until one of the ministers or somebody, an usher, anybody, just takes the wind out of my sails? Oh, that would be so awesome if I could get that. Nobody came here like that. Nobody came saying, hurt me, strip away my motivation or my reason for serving the Lord. And if you're not in your same chair you're always at and you're getting hurt over that, that's a whole different Bible study. You better come to discipleship because I got to talk to you. Because you shouldn't be discouraged by that. My chair. First of all, you didn't buy that chair. Nobody came here and said, please, hallelujah. Please discourage me. Nobody said that. Nobody said, please defeat me. I want to walk away defeated from this service. Oh, we came here looking for the opposite. Didn't we? I can't hear you. I'll tell you right now, somebody got to take Sam's place. He's probably the only guy who could get a little hallelujah. Come out, pastor. Now, where are you guys at? Don't discourage me. See, we came here looking for encouragement. We came here seeking hope, desiring to be motivated to greater things for the Lord in our family, in our marriage, in our businesses, in our ministry, in our calling, right? We came here looking for help. We came here looking for a miracle. We came here to get our praise on. Huh? What if the worship leader got up here and says, you know what, we're not going to praise today. We're just going to cry. Because we're all going through something, so we really can't praise, so everybody just cry. You'd be like, man, I could have stayed home and got been discouraged. I came in hoping that maybe one of them songs would lift me up. I could get into the praise and begin to say, God, hallelujah, you have won. Instead of saying, you know, man, I'm not victorious, I'm discouraged. Can you imagine if they got up here like that? Says, you know, we don't want to really worship the Lord because we don't got nothing to worship God for. That's what Paul said. See, what if I told you there was a way that would allow you to have in this world right now, not when you get to heaven, right here, a way to encourage yourself, a way to stay encouraged, a way to walk into your job. I don't care if money's funny. I don't care if what's going on at home and mama didn't talk to you this morning. She didn't pack your favorite lunch or whatever, brother. And you still walk in. You don't walk in with sucking your thumb and dragging your blanket to work. You walk in there and you say, hey, all right, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? He says, man, this guy's always happy. But you don't know what's going on the inside because him and mama had a knockdown drag out this morning at 7:00 in the morning because he didn't want to take the kids to school or she didn't want to do this. But he still walked in. Why? Because there's something about this guy, something about this girl. When she got to work, she says, you know what? I'm not going to let that get in me. I'm gonna text him and apologize. See, what if I told you you could be encouraged all the time? Huh? In a world that's filled with so much discouragement, so much hopelessness, so much defeat, I told you there was a way that every day you could say, I don't lose heart. Superhero. Come on, somebody. See, would you refuse my advice this morning? Or would you say, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to be defeated. I like being sick. I like having marital problems. I love it when my kids are rebellious. It shapes me. It just hones my, you know, it just sharpens me. It gives me insight. No, you don't want that, right? Nobody wants that. Nobody in their right mind wants that anyway. I tell the guys and the girls all the time, hey, have you felt like leaving the home lately? Oh, no. What's wrong with you? I don't. Really? You never felt like leaving the home? What's wrong with you then? Because not everybody wants to be in the home. Your testimony says, I wanted to leave every day, but I didn't. I graduated. That's what should be your testimony. I said, okay. Discouraging me now, Pastor. See, there's not really a secret. It's not a secret that you can be, that we know a way that Paul's given this way. This word is so powerful if you'll get in there and look at it. See, in the text, Paul tells us that he has found, I guess, a secret to staying encouraged in the Lord. He says, for this cause we faint not. In the King James, it doesn't say we don't lose heart. It says we faint not. We don't faint every time there's a circumstance. We don't faint every time something goes on in my body or something goes on in my heart or my mind or something goes on around me or they're talking about blowing up countries. We don't faint. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? No, we say, you know what? I depend on the Lord. Paul begins to focus and he's telling the church, he's telling you and I, he's saying, stay encouraged in the Lord. It's really not a secret. But he says this, it has to come out of your mouth. You have to speak those things that are not as if they were. That doesn't mean you're denying there's a problem. That doesn't mean there's not an issue and you're just kind of like forgetting like there's an issue. No, you're not trying to forget it. You're just saying it's going to get better. It's about to get better. It's going to get better. See? He's literally saying we don't lose heart. And he's saying it while he's chained up in a prison. And he's saying, even though, and he's not saying, oh, pray for me, man. I'm lonely here in prison and nobody's putting no money in my books and I'm alone and man, this guy's here, they're this and that and they don't care and nobody loves me. Nobody's coming in to preach the gospel. They don't say nothing like that. He just says, hey, whatever you do, don't lose heart. And I wanted to title this message, Don't Lose Heart. But I'm going to preach on Don't Lose Heart. But I've titled this message, Whatever You Do, Don't Run. Don't run. Because God's about to do something. I want to preach on that thought this morning. I want to show you some truth. Amen. So Paul says here in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. What an amazing statement from a crazy condition that he's in. He's in one of the most craziest conditions. He's in a circumstance, chained to a wall in a deep dungeon, and awaiting who knows what. Execution possibly, for sure. He's been beaten down. He's been hit. He's been whipped. And Paul is telling us that regardless of what comes your way, don't give up. He says, don't give in and don't give out. Listen, he says, don't lose heart. He doesn't lose heart. He says, I'm not losing heart. I'm bragging on God right now. He says, when I go through things, I trust in God. That's what he's really saying. See, it's so easy to lose heart when you go through things. It's so easy to come to a place where you're ready to throw in the towel and lay down your burdens and just quit and say, that's it. I can't take another day. It seems to me like just reading about what Paul went through, man, anybody would have quit, man. This dude went through some stuff. I mean, if you think about what he went through, when we read about what he goes through, man, but then he says, listen, I don't lose heart. He's not bragging. He's making a simple statement of fact that even though he's went through things, he has discovered the spiritual principle that enables him to be encouraged even in the midst of crazy circumstances that would have discouraged anybody, but at any time people can step up and say, wait a minute, man, I'm not going to let this take me down. I'm not going to allow the devil to discourage me. I'm not going to allow because people act a certain way. I'm not going to be getting all bent out of shape. Listen, you're not responsible how people treat you, how they act. You're responsible how you act. This is your journey. This is your walk. And if you don't act right, it's not having nothing to do with everybody. Somebody could be mean to you and crazy with you and all kinds of things with you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, you're not responsible for what they do. It may hurt you. It may bring some discouragement, but you are responsible of how you react. Paul's life was not easy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just a few chapters down, verse 20 through verse 30, they'll put it on the screen here behind me. He says here in verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman. He says it's the New Living Translation. He says, I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. Verse 24 says, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. They whooped him. 25 says, 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. And verse 26 says, I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the high seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry. I've been thirsty. I have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then beside all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches, who is weak without my feeling that weakness, who is led astray, and I do not burn with anger. In other words, I don't lose heart. Even though I've been through all these things, nothing shakes my faith. I still don't run. I still stay faithful. I still say, you know what? God, I don't know what reason you have for me allowing me to go through this, but I do know this. You're building something inside of me. This old flesh might be corrupt and it might be fading away, but on the inside, you're renewing me day by day. You're renovating my soul. You're doing something special inside of me, and I know that it's only you. I can't do it on my own, and nobody in their right mind loves pain or likes to suffer or likes to go through things or likes to be sick or likes to get divorced or likes the pain of discouragement. But oh, when those things come, and they do, that's when I stand up and say, I will not allow those things to get inside of me. I'm going to make sure that I praise my God. I'm going to make sure that I work on my faith. I'm going to make sure that I read my Bible. I'm going to make sure I'm tapped into the promises of God. I'm going to make sure that I got God on my side. See, in all those tribulations, he says, he doesn't lose heart. He goes, I don't run. Is there anyone here who can echo that same statement? Is there anyone who here can say, I never get discouraged. I never want to give up. I'm always encouraged. I'm always excited. I'm always energized about my life and my walk with the Lord. There may be a few, but not too many. Nobody here can say that we never ever get discouraged. Because we all sometimes we're stumbling from discouragement to discouragement. Sometimes we want to quit. We all want to stop and want to give no more because we feel that we've given all we can. We feel used and abused. Job, church, people, spouse, kids, everything. And your mind is playing games and racing on you. Most of us, like David, who said in the book of Psalm chapter 55 and verse 6, he said, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Come on, be honest with you. Some of you wish you had some wings. You could fly away right now. Fly away. Oh, Lord. You want to fly away? Huh? It hasn't been easy. There's nothing like a good trial that tests your faith. It hasn't been easy for the last 30 years to serve the Lord. People tell me, oh, you've been serving the Lord 30 years. Wow, that's a long time. I say, yeah. Wow, that's awesome. I said, it's awesome. I said, but you see my glory, but you don't know my story. You don't know what we've been through. We've been through some stuff. Yeah, to get here, we've been through some stuff. There has been days of discouragement. There's been days where you feel discouraged. But there's also, we've learned how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We've learned this principle, these spiritual principles. I can't even imagine what Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie got up here a while ago saying, well, hey, we're going to have a great time. 50 years of ministry. They're smiling and excited. But they don't tell you all the little stories. You're going to see it in the movie, though. Tell you the little stories when they were living in Aliso Village in East L.A. And they didn't have a vehicle. They had no money. They had no, there was no traveling of this country or that country now. They were in East L.A. and that's all they went to. And nobody was believing in them. All the other big ministries were saying, Sonny, what are you doing? Come with us. You're never going to build nothing with them junkies and with those dope fiends and gang members. They're not going to ever give or do anything. They're just dope fiends. Once a junkie, always a junkie. And he said, no, you go ahead. And they would discourage him. People would discourage him. But somewhere down in the prayer closet, him and Sister Julie, somewhere down in that place where they had got the promises of God, that God had spoke to them, said, no, we're going to hang in there. We're not going to lose heart. We're not going to give up. And I'm so glad that they didn't give up, because I don't know what would have happened to my family if they would have run, if they would have run to some other ministry, or if they would have run away from God. I don't know where I'd be at, because my whole family was touched through this ministry. Huh? There's times and, you know, troubles hit us, and it seems like the best option is to run away. That's never the right answer, ever. Man, I didn't want to stay up late last night, but I had to see I don't know if you guys like boxing, but I have, you know, now they have MMA and all that stuff. It's not boxing. There's no finesse in it. It's just beat somebody. But boxing is still, you know, finesse, you know, foot movement. And, you know, last night I saw a heavyweight championship fight. This guy from England, his name is Anthony Joshua, AJ. And he beat the last 10 years, Klitschko has been the champion of boxing at that level. And this dude, man, it was one of the best fights I've ever seen. And that's hard to say, because I've seen a lot of fights since the 70s. I've seen all the good, you know, Tommy Hearns, I've seen, you know, Sugar Ray, I've seen all of them. Tyson, I mean, come on. And I've seen, but this was true heavyweight. And you know what happened is the champion, the young guy, he knocked the guy down. And this true champion of 10 years, he got up and he barely made it through. He almost got him out. And then he came back. And the next round, he knocked this youngster out. I mean, not out, but he knocked him down. And it looked like he had turned. He had this guy. But then this youngster got back up again. And he didn't get discouraged. Even though he got knocked down, he got back up. And he didn't run from him. He went right at him. And it wasn't long until he knocked him out. We got TKO. And I thought to myself, what an analogy of our lives. That, man, the devil will hit you, man. He'll hit you, knock you down. And sometimes, you know, we just want to stay laying down. You can't lay down. You can't run. You can't get in the ring and then start running away from him. I don't know about you, but I can't handle boxers that run. I guess I come from old school, you know, Palomino, Cesar Chavez. This kid Canelo now, this guy just stands there and just fights at you. He don't run away from you. And I have a hard time with people running all the time. Now, that might be a style for some people, but for me, I'm like heads up. And I saw this fight last night, and I said, ooh, these are true heavyweight champs. These are like the days of Frazier and Ali, man. It reminded me of back in those days. It's like heavyweight boxing is back again. And I thought to myself, this youngster didn't have the experience that this other 10-year veteran champion boxer had. He didn't have the experience, yet he fought like he did. Why? Because he didn't lose heart. He didn't run from this champion once he got knocked down and said, oh, this guy knocked me down. He's going to probably beat me. He said, no, I'm still hungry. On his shorts, it says, I'm hungry. I stay hungry. On the back of his jacket, it says, I stay hungry. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry too. Of course, I'm always hungry. It's another Bible study. Now, in our text, real quickly, we see Paul talking about the outward man. This outward man is dying, is corrupting. It's not going to last. We're only here for a certain amount of time. But then he just changes it, and he says, but the inward is being renewed. Even though we have all these afflictions, there's something happening on the inside, day by day. That word renew there in the original language is the word renovate. God is renovating us. He's already made us, So he's not remaking us. He's renewing us. He's renovating us. Like this building. It's a building, but it was old. We still have to do those walls. Those walls are not finished product. That's just, we painted them to get in here. That's one of the things next. The offices are almost done. How many love our front porch? Not as big as we wanted, but, well, code wasn't going to allow us. And so we're renovating this building. We're renovating this room. We're renovating the children's church, renovating this room and that room. And we're constantly, even though it's a building, it's already made, we are constantly renovating. That's what God is doing in your life. He's constantly renovating. And sometimes he allows you to go through trials and tribulations. You'll go through something because that's part of the process of being renovated. This ceiling was completely taken out. If you see the pictures of the way the ceiling was, it was hard to take this thing out. It was a lot of work. We had a lot of guys here, a lot of girls here constantly working on a daily basis. And to look like it is now does not look anything like it looked. Why? Because we had to renovate. Amen? Inside, we may not be where we're supposed to be at, but God is allowing. It may not even look good right now, but God is renovating. God is renewing every single day. Every day the inner man is given new strength to face the trials. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow it will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. And even though every day has its unique problems, God gives us the grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, in the NLT, it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Look at from chapter 4 to chapter here in 12, all the way up to chapter 12 we read earlier. And you see the way he's continually talking to the church of Corinth. And he's saying, listen, his grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. He'll give you the grace to go through what you got to go through. Amen. So each day that you go through troubles, every day that you go through something, listen, understand something, that there's a process that goes on the inside. There's a process going on every single day. And in those trials, you must have grace. See, the car of your life, if you look at your car, your life like a car, it wasn't meant to run on last year's gas. It was meant to run on the gas you put in today. Your spiritual body cannot survive on last year's meals. You need to feed your body every day. You need to feed feed it fresh food every day to live. The spiritual dosage that brought you healing from your addiction or from your hurt heart or divorce or pain or whatever it happened. Listen, it was good for then, but it's not enough to carry you to the future. You need to allow God to give you fresh healing every single day. Listen, the symptoms that you had last year are not there anymore. There may be some new symptoms, but God wants to give you something fresh, something new. You need a fresh dose for the pain you're going through today, and God will give it to you, but you got to seek him. You see, what brought you up from the water you brought from the well yesterday has already run out. You got to go back to the well. That's where you go back to the Word of God. That's where you go back to prayer. Huh? Listen, that water from yesterday will sustain you for a day or two inside, but you must not think that that's going to carry you through. You've got to get in fresh water every single day. You've got to hit the spring of God every single day. There's no spiritual fuel that was designed to run your car for 10 years. There's no spiritual fuel that was fuel that was designed to let you keep on going and going and going. You've got to renew. That's why World Conference is a time of renewal. That's why this women's discipleship that you're going through, this ladies, it's coming. That's going to feed your soul. It's going to feed your spirit. And when you stay home and when you stay off of that stuff like that and you don't go to stuff like that, you wonder why you're going through trials and why you can't face the trials when you go through. Because everybody goes through trials. It's just that when you see that sister, you say, how come they don't get all messed up over their trials? You know why? Because they're at the altar filling their buckets up. They're at Dr. Jesus' knees and right on their knees right at his feet, getting a dose of the Holy Ghost enough to carry him through the trial, not just to be stuck in the trial. Come on, somebody. There's no spiritual inoculation that will cure every ailment for a new day. You may run into a situation tomorrow. Listen, what worked last decade and last 20 years ago or 5 years ago or last week may not be enough for the next thing you go through. You're going to have to do something new, something fresh. You have to renew day by day. Feed your spirit instead of feeding your flesh so much. Now, what does that mean? It means that you need to feed on God's word. You got to feed on him through prayer every day. You need fellowship with the saints. Oh, I don't like people, so I don't want to hang around. I'll come to church. What? Really? How do you know they like you? How do you know they're not just putting up with you? Well, got quiet up in here. You was shaking and gritando a while ago. You need fellowship, man. That's why the life groups are vital. Get in a life group. I feel embarrassed to go. Cut it out. Did you get embarrassed when you used to go to the? I saw your Instagram. No wonder why so many people lose heart, man. They don't have no word, no barely come once in a while, church. It's you need God. I don't know about you, but my vehicle only goes on the long road. It goes about 325, 330. In town, about 295, like that. And I got to put gas. I got to get to Sam's Club. I got to get to there's a gas station right up the street right here. Murphy's, yeah, we got good prices. I got to get to the gas station. Why? Because it's going to run out. Then I'm going to call you, Dave. Hey, is any of the guys anywhere near here? Do they got a gas can? Can somebody help me push out of the middle of the, you got to have gas, you got to gas yourself up. The way you do that is by being in church, by being at the altar, by being in prayer at your house in the morning. Listen, don't go to work and face a bunch of devils without prayer. Don't go to work and face a bunch of people that are all crazy, talk about you, talk about everything in the world, and you're going up with no prayer. Because you know what? Your flesh is going to get fed by them. Feed your spirit in the morning so that way you might feed somebody at work. Come on, somebody. Pastor, you're going old school on us. Well, sometimes we got a little old schools here. See? When life takes a turn, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't you ever give up. Ever, ever, ever. My dad used to tell us in the neighborhood, he says, if somebody jumps on you, you don't give up. You hit back until you can't hit back no more. Sometimes that happens. God has said to rise up in 2017. Listen, don't stay on the mat. Don't stay on the ground. I love when that young boxer got back up, but so did the old boxer. He got back up too. Listen, we can't stay. That showed true championship type abilities those guys had because they didn't stay on the ground. They got back up even though they didn't feel like getting back up. Whatever you do, man, whenever life gets hard, don't lose heart. Don't run. Whatever you do, don't run away. God has earmarked your time. He has earmarked a time just for you. Imagine how David must have felt when the devil was after him, when the enemies of his enemies were chasing him down. He was hiding away from everybody, and he was saying, God said, I've anointed you. I've called you to be the next king of Israel. I'm going to do a work in you. And you imagine what he must have felt like when he was in the cave all alone saying, man, where are all his benefits? Where are all God's blessings? He said I was going to do this, and he said I was going to do that. And I don't know, man, this is tough. But instead, what did he do? He just kept on fighting. He just kept on loving God. He kept on writing songs in the book of Psalms. He kept on, that's where he wrote his best. He says, I may feel alone. That's where he wrote chapter 55. When he said there, what did he say? He said, hey, he goes, let me tell you something right now. He goes, you know what? I wish I had wings like a dove so I could fly away from here, man, because I'm lonely, I'm broken, I'm messed up. But you know what? Just because he was lonely and broken and messed up, it didn't cause him to run. He may have ran away from Saul, but he didn't run away from God. He ran into the arms of God. Some of you, man, you run in the wrong direction. Don't run away from God. Run to God. Say, I tried God. Well, so have I. He always works. Sometimes he's silent. Sometimes you can't hear him. Remember what he says. No eye has seen. No eye has seen, nor no ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Don't you ever give up. This is your time. Really? Yes, it's your time. God's about to bless you. He's about to promote you. He's about to give you a city. He's about to break open something big in your business. Don't give up now. Don't give up. Think about Abraham Lincoln. Never gave up. Failed at so miserably at so many things. He failed. He ran for office. He tried businesses and he failed and failed and failed. Boom. And then God put him on the scene. Look at God used him to do. Look at the powerful, powerful thing that God raised up Abraham Lincoln to do. See, people usually run right before they're getting promoted. People usually let a trial or a problem detour them. People usually run when there's problems. They run away. Marriage gets funny and they run away. Why? To run into the arms of somebody else with 10 times worse problems. And it just keeps on going and going and going. You wake up one day and say, how did I get here? You've been running. And you got to quit running from God. You got to quit running from the church. You got to quit running from believers. And you got to start running to God and running to people that can help you. People usually run right before the blessing is going to come. I tell the men in the home and the women in the home all the time, whatever you do, don't run from God, man. Stay here. I ask them, how many have kids? How many of you have a spouse that it's hurt with you? But you're believing God to heal that relationship with those kids. And everybody, yeah. I tell them, don't leave. Don't run away from God because they're just waiting to see. They're just waiting to see the proof in the pudding, man. They're just waiting to see the fruit of your what you say you are. They're just waiting. And there's nothing more saddened to me, nothing more broken to me than I've seen this with my own eyes more than one occasion, more than five times. I've seen it where a guy says, well, I can't make it here. I'm leaving, man. And they take off. And then right there, a car pulls up that same afternoon. And they come and they say, hey, is Johnny here? And it's like, Johnny who? And they say the last name. Says, oh, hold on a second. They go get the director, and the director has to come on in the office. Let me talk to you. And they say, I'm sorry to let you know that Johnny left this morning. Oh, that little kid, they don't realize that little kid, they have a little box with some toothpaste and some shoe shine and a toothbrush and some floss. Hello, somebody. You know, some socks maybe. Not much, because they don't have much. Just a little box. Just bringing it. But then you got to tell the kid, I'm sorry, your daddy left. Because there was no sugar for the cornflakes, Charles. No sugar? I'm out of this place. For what? I'm just making fun. I think any reason. To watch the discouragement of that little child get back in the car. When his wife say, I knew it. He's a this, he's a that. And them drive off discouraged. It's one of the most painful things I've ever seen in the ministry. What am I saying is, when you run, you don't just hurt you. You hurt everybody. People run from their marriage right before the breakthrough. Right before the breakthrough, man. People run, they bring it out. People often run right before God's getting ready to promote you. And you run away from God. You run away from it all. You know why? Because of the discomfort. You don't like the discomfort. You don't like the way it feels. You're too used to the way things feel. Well, I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Stop. You ain't going to feel a lot of things a lot of times. You got to quit going by feelings. You got to go by faith. 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 Don't run. Before the breakthrough comes, tests come. Don't run. Right before the blessings come, there's usually a process you've got to go through. God's up to something. God's about to show up. Your miracle is on the way. Your miracle is about to sprout out of the ground. Many of you planted a resurrection seed on Easter Sunday morning or in the last couple of weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, and you're still sitting there wondering, man, am I ever going to receive from God? I believe in God for this, and I don't see nothing happening. Well, I'm here to let you know here right now that your seed is germinating. Your seed is in the ground. The water's hit it, the soil, the minerals in the soil, it's wrapped itself around it. It started, there's a reaction, there's a chemical reaction, a spiritual reaction happening in that seed, and it won't be long. See, you're looking at the outward, you're looking at what you can see, but oh, the Bible says, we read it over and over this morning, don't But look at the things you can see with the natural eye. Look in the spirit, because what you cannot see underneath that dirt is that the seed is already cracked open. Your seed is already cracked open, and there's a little sprout already coming up. It's about to crack the ground, and you want to run. Or you say, I can't. I'm impatient. I can't wait anymore. So you get a little shovel, you get a little spoon, and you start digging away. Anybody ever done that? You start digging away to see where, how come it's not growing? Some of you are looking kind of funny, like you did it with some other kind of seed. So I know who I'm talking to here this morning. Your seed's germinating in the ground and you're in a hurry. Don't try to dig into the dirt and see how your seed's doing. Let it take its course. Let it go through the process. That's the only way it'll grow up strong. The only way you'll grow strong is by going through it. Listen, if you're going to get through it, you got to go through it. If you're going to get in it, then you got to be in it. Come on, somebody. Let your miracle go through the process. God spoke to us. He said, there's a 7 times greater anointing coming. There is a 7 times greater harvest on your seed. You need to let the germination process happen. Keep on watering. Keep on cultivating. If you'll come to the keyboard. See, Paul had to go through it. He had to go through the process. His conversion was crazy. I don't have time to get into it. I'm in chapter 9 of the book of Acts. His conversion is like a instantaneous. I had one of those. It was a cold November 26th on a Thursday morning in 1987. And in that very moment, bam, fell to the ground. And I wept before the Lord. And right there, he just flipped my script, man. He flipped my whole life in one. I had no time. I didn't have no process time to get that part. That part was boom, right there, right now. I didn't have no chance. Well, I don't know if I want to do it. You're going to do this. Or you're going to die. See? Then his training, all the training he went through, all the tests, we read about many of them. That's not all of them. There's many more. We had the opportunity when we were in Rome in December, we had the opportunity to be in the very same dungeon in Rome where Paul was held. Not just him, but also Peter was held at a time as well. We were able to see where he was held, where he was chained up. Actually, they didn't chain him to a wall. I used to think it was to a wall. They have these, they showed us what they were. They're like these big round things with big steel things around them, and they chained him to that. And crazy enough, we were in that place where he was at. And it dawned upon me. That he was here and didn't complain. He was here and spoke these words. The way I paraphrase it in the New English Burke translation is, cut it out. Quit. Stop complaining. You've been through worse. Some of you have been through so many trials, and you get into it. You got a sticker in your foot, and you want to give up. Don't give up. This is not your time to give up. This is your time to shine. This is your time to rise up. I think of the way Paul finished. Paul finished well, writing his last letters to the church. Whatever you do, he says, don't lose heart. See, nothing ever happens till you go through a process. This is where you learn. Number one, you learn levels of pain. Trials can be painful, but don't lose heart. It's in that time that the seed has to break through the ground, where it's the most painful time. Once it happens there, it just grows naturally. But breaking through the ground, the breakthrough is the hardest time. Don't give up before the breakthrough happens or the breakup. You're breaking up into a whole new light. You're breaking up into a whole new outlook. You open up, then the sun hits you. Ah, you're getting watered every day. See, this discomfort is not good. Nobody wants to be in discomfort. What do you? The moment you get a headache, what are you looking for? Excedrin, ibuprofen, Aleve, and other things. Listen, you can't medicate yourself. You want to get medicated? Tell the doctors, give me this because I need this. Pain will cause you to do some crazy things. Second thing happens, you learn loyalty during this process. You learn loyalty. It's the season, in this kind of season, that you learn loyalty. I mean, I could camp out on this, but I'm not going to camp out because we're about to wrap it up. But I say, stay loyal to God. Don't lose heart. Some of you are involved in street gangs. Some of you in prison gangs. You held your mug. You stayed loyal no matter what. You were in lockdown. You were in solitary confinement. You stayed loyal. You didn't give up nobody's names. You stayed loyal. You did time for other people. You stayed loyal. It's funny how we can be loyal for crazy things and we can't be loyal to God. I mean, stay loyal to the Lord. Stay loyal to God. Don't run. Don't run from God. Don't lose heart. Stay loyal to family. Don't give up so easy. Don't give up so easy. Don't lose heart. Stay loyal to those who have been there for you. Be surprised how many people just forget about those people who have been there. See, once you get, success has a funny way corrupting your mind and your heart. You can never forget. Look back 10 years. Look back to the teacher. You say, oh, school was horrible. That was one teacher, maybe one counselor. Somebody gave you an ounce of hope someplace. Don't forget them. People can sense loyalty because loyalty is attractive. But disloyalty, ugly. And it's also sensed very easily. And then thirdly, love. This is where you find love. During this time, as you really realize the love of God, you begin to understand His love, that even though you go through these things, He loves you with an everlasting love. This is where you learn how much He loves you. This is where you learn how to love other people unconditionally, even though they may not love you back. This is where you learn how to love even though you've been hurt and burned. Love covers a multitude of sins, ladies and gentlemen. Love does something that nothing else can do. His love is powerful. Don't lose heart when you've been burned, man, when you've been taken advantage of. So many people, they can't love anybody. They can't accept God's love. They can't accept the love of the church or the pastors or the leaders. They can't accept anybody to love them because they don't trust anybody. And I understand the pain you've been through. You've been burned. You've been taken advantage of. That's not the way God is. God doesn't ever burn you. God doesn't. He may allow you to go through things. He may even allow you to lose stuff. But He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never, ever, 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 ever. You see, if you do run from God, if for some reason you decide to run from God, or if you're on the run right now, some of you are on the run, God's love will chase you down. His love will go and find you. I don't care where you're at. Some of you can testify. Where you were at, you were in a dark place, and God's love came and chased you down. You know, I love to say this, that if you run, we'll unleash the hounds of heaven to go find you. You know those like the hunting hounds? Woo, woo. They go around trees. They get the bears. They don't miss anything. My dog Chevy don't miss. She hunts. She's hunting right now for, I don't know, squirrels, and she's hunting for cats, and she just like this all the time. And she goes, my dog's got a testimony now. Chevy was in jail last week. I just got to bring that out, guys. Chevy, she went to jail, man. We had to bail her out. We were out of town. They wouldn't let nobody bail her out. You know how it is on the weekend, like Friday, you get bailed out till Monday. Well, this is a whole week because Sister Barbara had to go show her ID. You know, she's all that, you know, information. And they still told her, we don't have no proof that she's had her shots. Well, she goes, I'll get you proof. They'll fax it over. But our dog's got a testimony. Now, I knew Chevy was Victory Outreach. For a couple of reasons. One of them, that girl's rebellious. And sometimes we all, you know how we can be. We can be rebellious, man. God's got it. Right? So Chevy, man, she's just, you know. And then she went to jail. She got a mugshot and everything. We just did a brand new, You don't know where I'm going, right? You said brand new, like this brand new brochure for the homes. Think about putting Chevy in there. Say, once I was a runner, but Jesus set me free. But, you know, because she ran. That girl ran and ran. Katrina called. Chevy's missing. We're like, at first we're like, well, maybe that's the Lord's will. Nah, we started inside. I know Barb was acting real tough, and I was acting tough. But then I asked her, "Go, babe, we're gonna find Chevy. We're gonna find Chevy, babe." She's like, "We'll find her, babe. Don't worry." Then she called me. She goes, "Guess what?" She goes, "Chevy's in jail." I go, "What? She's in the dog pound. They picked her up, working the streets. She's out there. She's out there." I go, "Man, she's out there." So Chevy, man, pray for our dog. She needs to be renewed on the inside. Our love and Katrina's fear chased down Chevy until she found her. She said she went into every dog kennel in Albuquerque, everywhere. And finally, the very last kennel, there was Chevy. "Ah, Katrina, come and get me out." She said, "I can't get you out. Stay in here for a couple more days." She said, "You drove me crazy all week, man. I almost lost my, you know." If you do run, or if you're running, God's love will chase you down, man. Don't run, first of all. But if you do, the prodigal son, I don't have time to get into it, but the prodigal son ran. But God's love chased him down even to the pig pen. And all I had to do was turn around and say, "Oh, I'm going to come back home." Go back home if you're running. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me all over this place? It's so easy to lose heart when life turns against you, when people turn against you, when addiction turns against you, and everything turns against you. It's easy to come to that place where you just want to quit, but you do not have to quit. You do not have to be defeated. You do not have to become a statistic. You don't have to be one of those people who used to walk with God. You don't have to be one of those people who used to go to church, who used to be in the ministry, who used to be faithful. You can reach a place where you never lose heart anymore because you trust in God. You can reach a place where you can press on no matter what presses on you. You can echo the incredible statement of the Apostle Paul. We do not lose heart. I won't run. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. If you've been running from God, then this altar call is going to be for you. If you're thinking about running from God, you don't know what you're going to do, I say run to the altar, run to God, run to the Spirit of God, let Him do it. If you're discouraged, you're sick in body, if your marriage is beyond the rocks, marriage is drowning, if your life has taken a turn, if you can't find work, you're about to lose your house, or if there's things happening, you just uncontrollable circumstances, it just seems like you can never get ahead. And this altar call is for you today. I believe that God is wanting us to be able, all of us to be able to say, we do not lose heart. We don't run. We don't run away from, we run to. In the name of Jesus. If you're here this morning, and as God has spoken to your heart this morning, I'm going to ask Him to sing this song. If you say, "Pastor, I was about to run. I was about to begin my journey on the runaway from God, the runaway from church. I was about to just give up. I was just about to throw in the towel." Or maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor, I'm running from God. I'm on the run right now. And I'm having a hard time getting back to the Lord." Then, oh, I want to invite you all from all over this place to step out of your seat and make the long walk down to this altar. And I want you to go ahead and give your heart over to God. I want you to give your problems to God. I want you to give your circumstances to God. I want you to bring your trial, your burden, your discouragement, your pain, your sickness, whatever it is, bring it to the altar and let God encourage you. Let God turn it all around for you. Let God make the necessary changes. Let God do what He does best. He heals. He changes. He encourages. He loves best. There's nobody like Him. He's a great counselor. He's a great healer. He's the one and only. He'll never let you down. He'll meet you at your brokenness. He's your answer. He's the one who can remove the stains of your past. He's the one who can deliver you from addiction. He's the one who can put your marriage back together. He's the one who can heal your body. He's the one. Tell Him, here I am, Lord. I give myself. I give myself. My life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To You I belong. I give myself. Hallelujah. Real quickly before I pray, if you're here in this sanctuary today, if you're here or maybe you're listening by podcast and you don't know the Lord, you've run away from God all your life. You know, I ran from God for 10 years and I finally ran back into His arms in 1987. From 1977 to 1987, I ran from God. But on that 10th year, I couldn't take it anymore. I ran into His arms. And you know what He did? He didn't say, bad you, or you should have come a long time ago, or what's wrong with you. He didn't do none of those things. You know what He did? He embraced me. He held me in His arms. And He began to heal my heart. He began to remove my sins. Began all the process of changing my life, renovating my inside. And if you're here today, and you've been running from God, and you have not given your life to Jesus, you've been running. Oh, you might come to church, or you might read your Bible, or you might even talk about God. But you know you're running. Or if you're here and you say, I don't even know how I got here because I'm on the run from God. Don't run anymore. Run home. Run to the altar. Let God do what He does best. Let Him forgive you and love you. He has no questions to ask you. People might have questions to ask you, but He doesn't have any questions to ask you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, my life is shambles. It's shredded right now. And I don't know what to do. Then I'm here with an answer with you today. Give your life to Jesus. If you're here in this room today and you say, I've never really served the Lord with all my heart. Or I used to be a Christian. I used to walk with God and I ran. And I've been on the run ever since. And today I want to give my life. I want to get back in that place. I want to be encouraged. You've encouraged me enough today. I want God. If that's you here today, I want you to lift your hand right now. Wherever you're at, just lift it. Come on, lift it. Don't hesitate. Bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, just lift up that hand and say, I want God. I want Jesus, man. I need Jesus. Anybody else that says, I need God. Does this altar right here is a place of restoration. It's a place of encouragement. This altar is a place of healing. It is a place of turnaround. It is a place to put you on the right path. If you lifted your hand, lift it up high. Lift it up high. If you lifted your hand, just lift it high. If you're out there in the congregation still and you say, Pastor, I really want to do this, but I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed my family to know or the church to know. I've been running. Don't be embarrassed. The greatest thing you can do is move past pride and just turn it over to God. I'm telling you now, if you do, everything will change. So I'm going to wait for you for about 30, 40 more seconds. Go ahead and sing this verse a couple more times. My life is not my own. And I want you from all over this place to say, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to give you a few moments to come to find your place at this altar. Step out of that seat and say, I need God. I'm tired of running. I'm not going to run no more. I'm not going to lose heart no more. I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. Oh, my life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
I belong.
To you I belong.
I give my life
give
to you.
Myself, I give myself to
One
you.
One more time, my life is not my own.
My life is not my own.
To you I belong.
To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I want to do. Those of you that said, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus for the first time, or I've been running from God, then I want you to repeat this with me. Say real quickly. Say, Lord Jesus, tired of running. This is my time to serve you. I ask you to come into my heart and give me a brand new start. I give my life to you, and I ask you to forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Give me that brand new life. I thank you for dying on the cross for me, from raising from the dead, and coming back again. I know you're coming back again, and I'll be ready. In Jesus' name. I'm not running no more. I'm not running no more. Amen. And amen. If you said that prayer, God just did something in the heavens. All of heaven is rejoicing right now because one of their own, one of God's own, has come back to the Lord, come home, and stopped running from the Lord. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise for that. Hallelujah. Now, many of you here are saved, but you've been discouraged, and you're not alone. Many of us sometimes, and honey, would you come? Where's Barb at? Would you come up here, baby? Where is she at? Well, up here, amen. I want you to come. We're going to pray in just a moment. Okay, we're going to pray for you. I want to pray that God will turn things around for you. The devil's a liar, man. He tries to stop us. Every time he tries to stop us, you got to remember this message. Go back in the podcast and listen to it over and over and over. Don't you let the devil take you out. Don't you run away from God. You run to God, not away from God. Amen? I want to pray. Let's pray. Can we pray together? Let's pray together. Sometimes the enemy would love to keep you discouraged, but not anymore. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we thank you today, God, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard against him, God, for a good report and to get rid of this pain that has been ailing her nonstop for weeks now.